This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This segment is sponsored by Francetic Tax. Gamblers, if you owe $10,000 or more or have IRS letters, help is available. Call 262-752-6992 or visit GamblerTaxHelp.com for a free consultation. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Late night NBA action. The Lakers are now up 9 on the Rockets. We checked in like 5 minutes ago. It was 105 all. And with a minute to go, it's 120-111 Lakers. Oh, God. Every single show is going to be talking about, can the Lakers win a title? I mean, I'm not. I mean, realistic people aren't. But that is definitely something that's going to happen coming off a performance like this as Luka is losing his mind, yelling at the crowd in Houston right now. College basketball, though, is on the brain. It's taking center stage. That's all anyone should be talking about Thursday. And if they're not, they should be fired. And that's what we're going to do now. Welcoming in Tanner Kern, DraftKings Sportsbook content creator, Forbes contributor at Tanner Kern _ on X, and he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Do you think that's a fair assessment? If you're talking about anything other than college basketball tomorrow, you should lose your job.
Well, we know what First Take's going to leave with.
That's why I said it. It's crazy because the college basketball is going to be phenomenal. You know, I know that. We already have storylines coming to fruition, as in Miami of Ohio pulling off that win tonight in the 11-seeded first four. Prairie View A&M also won as a three-point dog, 67-55. But the story of the night, the Red Hawks top SMU, 89-79. They were catching anywhere from 6.5 to 9 points in this one, Tanner, and they ended up winning outright by 10. You watch that game closely. Do you think there's any chance, as they're catching 10.5 against Tennessee, that they could potentially have something to keep it close with the Vols?
I'm not overly impressed by Tennessee, but it all comes down to three-point shooting. Like throughout the game tonight, I was thinking SMU is going to find a way to come back, find a way to make a little bit of a push, because I didn't think Miami-Ohio could stay as hot as they were from the three-point line as they were in the first half. And, you know, credit to them, they found a way to make shots in the second half, but they were just knocking down pretty much everything tonight, and that's the key for a Cinderella team, obviously. You need to make your threes. So if they do that, they can be anybody in the country. I'm not saying they're going to be able to do that for more than one or two games, right? But if they shoot how they did tonight, there's a realistic chance that they do take down Tennessee and obviously cover that number at least.
All right. Well, you have a bunch of plays as far as March Madness is concerned, and I want to get your thoughts on a few of your futures. So the lowest final four seed, how do you want to play that one? Because we're coming off a world where we saw all the one seeds make it a year ago, and everyone's now saying, well, this is our new normal. This is our reality going forward. And you've got a pretty good number, 5.5, under 5.5 as the lowest final four seed. I don't know who your biggest concern would be there. I'm going a little unorthodox in my bracket, but 5.5 does feel right. Talk to me about the play here.
I love 5.5. The number jumped down to 4.5 pretty quickly after I bet 5.5. Depends on the book you can go to, obviously, but 5.5 is still out there. You know, when you look across the bracket, I don't really feel threatened by any 6-plus seed right now in the East, potentially UCLA with how they picked up at the end of the season, but they were bad the majority of the season. And then you have to beat UCF, UConn, Michigan State, Duke. That's going to be really hard, potentially St. John's if Duke does overlook them. UNC doesn't have a Final Four caliber team as a 6 seed in the South. I don't really think Florida gets out of that region necessarily as the 1 seed, but I feel pretty good that it's going to be a team under a 6 seed, considering you look at Vanderbilt right now as a 5 seed in that region. You know, BYU, I think, is a real threat. AJ DeMonts is great, but realistically, I see their ceiling as the Elite Eight in the West, especially with Gonzaga's health and Purdue's inconsistency. But, you know, they're not as good as either of those teams in my mind, and you're still going to have to beat Arizona there. And then in the Midwest, Tennessee is the 6 seed. We're just talking about them. They got a tough matchup coming up against Miami, Ohio. If they do beat Miami, Ohio, they got to beat Virginia to get to the Sweet 16. That's going to be challenging. And then, of course, you have Iowa State and Michigan in that bracket as well. So barring any crazy Cinderellas, which I think there will obviously be a few, but in the world of NIL that we live in, it's only going to keep getting worse. You got guys that are, you know, we're at mid-major schools that you don't get poached, and now they're at major schools, and that's why these teams are winning. So I really don't see a lot of threats on the board outside of those teams to get to the Final Four. And for all those teams to get there, they really have to earn it. So I think 1, 2s, and 3s we will be seeing primarily in Indiana at the end of the season.
Tanner Kern is our guest, Progressive guest line, DraftKings Sportsbook content creator, Forbes contributor, at Tanner Kern underscore on X. Let's talk Sweet 16 bets, because I've been trying to navigate these waters here on Sharp Week for a few days. I put a couple up, including Akron, a couple others that I like to make the Sweet 16. Who's your favorite bet right now to get down to the 16?
Yeah, I saw a lot of big bets rolling on DraftKings on long shots like Akron, Miami, Ohio. I'm going to take it a little bit of a different direction. I'm going to go with Michigan State to reach the Sweet 16. There's so many people that are high on Michigan State. And originally I wasn't. I thought UConn would be able to beat them in the Sweet 16 or, potentially they have a tough matchup against a Louisville or a USF. But when you look at how they match up just profile-wise against those teams, it's really good, especially now with Mikel Brown Jr. being out for Louisville. He's going to miss this weekend with a back injury. We know the NCAA tournament is all about great guard play, and when you look at Mikel Brown Jr., he's one of those great guards, so him not being on the floor is really going to hurt Louisville. I think USF was a live dog in that game before that, so if USF is able to knock them off, they would face Michigan State in the Sweet 16, barring that Michigan State does not lose to North Dakota State in the first round. I'm on USF against Louisville. I believe they're going to be in a good spot there. And when they do face Michigan State ultimately in the second round to get to the Sweet 16, it's a tough matchup for USF stylistically. Michigan State size is going to be a lot for them. Jackson Kohler's really good down low, combined with Jeremy Fears, who another great guard for Michigan State. It's going to be tough for them. And then for Louisville, when they don't have Mikel Brown Jr. on the floor, they're like a 500 basketball team. They look completely different. So Michigan State's got a pretty nice draw to get to the Sweet 16. And then anything after that, going up against a UConn or a UCLA, we'll see what happens. But I do like Izzo to get to weekend two here.
Tanner Kern's with us, DraftKings Sportsbook content creator, Forbes contributor, at Tanner Kern underscore. You mentioned the South Florida plus 5.5. They're a fun team. And that number's down to 4.5 at DraftKings. I'm very curious to see if it actually gets lower. I feel like nobody's making the case for Louisville. Are you like me, though, or you start looking, because I love the dogs this week. I love a lot of dogs, and I'm like, everyone else loves the dogs. Like, I'm on VCU. No one's making the case for North Carolina. I'm on Akron, as you mentioned. Nobody's making the case for Texas Tech. How concerned are you with how trendy these dogs are? Because I'm trying to find the dogs that I think that are trendy and still going to win, but you just never know how that's going to lay out until these games actually go down.
Oh, very concerned. I mean, there's public dogs all over the place. The Louisville South Florida game is definitely one of those in the East region. When you go to the South region, another public dog is obviously VCU. The 6-11 seeds are pretty trendy. I think Troy is. I don't know if you saw the clip trending on Twitter tonight talking about how Troy doesn't take elevators and escalators. But that seemed to get a lot of people going on Troy now. In the Midwest region, Tennessee, Miami, Ohio is obviously a hot one there. Santa Clara over Kentucky is a hot one too. And then in the West region, another one where the public's high on the dog, potentially a Texas over a BYU or a High Point over Wisconsin. Those are kind of the ones I've seen, but one of the biggest is USF. I think this line's going to continue to drop. And I do want to make it clear that Louisville is a really good basketball team without Mikel Brown Jr. on the floor. There's a good chance that they do find a way to win this game without him, but just stylistically, profile wise, it's a really good matchup for USF. They're kind of a miniature version of Louisville, I would say. They're 61st in offensive rating. They're 40th in defensive rating. Louisville's 19th and 25th in those categories. So, the Cardinals are good, but USF plays at a slightly faster tempo. And I think without Mikel Brown Jr. on the floor, that's going to be really hard for Louisville to overcome. Wes Enos has been tremendous in recent games for USF. 20 plus points in four of his fast five, I believe. The shooting percentage has been much higher as well. He's been 50% in three of his past five. So if he does that without a Mikel Brown Jr. on the floor, I think USF's got a really good chance in this game. But you're probably going to get a live number as well that's pretty solid if Louisville can make a little bit of a run early here.
Yeah, I kind of want to go over also, Tanner, but I don't want to bet overs. And like, I bet one over, and as soon as I placed that, I said, you know what? That was probably stupid for the first round with the Texas BYU game. But this game at 163.5 says over as well. Want to squeeze one more play in from Tanner Kern, DraftKings Sportsbook, with us on the Progressive guest line. St. Mary's laying 3.5 against A&M. Totals 147.5. Complete opposite styles. Bucky McMillan taking on Randy Bennett. You're going to lay it with the Gales here. Tell me why.
Oh, I love St. Mary's minus 3.5 in this game. A lot of people on Texas A&M taking the points. The brand game for the SEC going up against a WCC team in St. Mary's. St. Mary's plays painfully slow. When you watch this game tomorrow, if you haven't watched St. Mary's, you're going to kind of be bored by how they play. 298th in adjusted tempo. But they also shoot 39% from three. So they play at a really slow tempo, but they can bury you like they're playing at a high speed. They play so slow, but they make their threes at such a high level that it really drains the other team. They take possessions away and teams aren't efficient enough to keep up. You know, Texas A&M's 29th in tempo. They're going to want to play really fast here, but I don't think the Gaels are going to let that happen. You know, we've seen it time and time again. St. Mary's goes up against these teams that want to play with speed and they just simply don't let them. One player to watch in this game, Joshua Dent for St. Mary's, only had 4 points in 40 minutes against Santa Clara. He's their most efficient 3-point shooter. I think he's going to make a lot of big shots in this game, and he's going to be one that helps slow the game down as well, you know, taking the ball off the floor. One of their most efficient three-point shooters. So I think the Aggies have a really good team. They play great three-point defense, really improved three-point defense from last year to this year, but it just sets up for a St. Mary's win with how they play, and I think it's going to be too much for the Aggies to overcome with that slow pace.
He is Tanner Kern. Check him out. DraftKings Sportsbook, Forbes as well, at TannerKern_on X. Appreciate you doing this as always, my friend. Good luck with the bets, and I'll chat with you next week.
Thanks, you too.
Tonight, Cashing Out is brought to you by Francetic Tax Resolution. Paul Francetic is a tax resolution expert who's helped gamblers for over 20 years resolve IRS problems. Right now, he's offering a free gambler tax problem consultation. Call 262-752-6992 or visit GamblerTaxHelp.com. That's GamblerTaxHelp.com. When we return, we look at the early window of action in round one of the NCAA tournament. Let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. It's March, which means the madness is officially upon us, and the folks at VSiN have really gone crazy with this one. I'm being told for just $29.99, you can get unlimited access to VSiN Pro through May 1st. I'm talking picks through the tournament, public betting data for every single game, plus sharp tools, projections, articles, and more, which means every day you wait is an opportunity missed. Just click the link in the description to get started. It's March, baby. All right. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out is sponsored by Francetic Tax. Tax questions from betting? Well, Paul Francetic specializes in gambler tax issues. Start with a free consultation at GamblerTaxHelp.com. Back into the program. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Thanks for making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the Visa Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. In case you missed it, Miami of Ohio, resounding win, 10 points over SMU. They were catching anywhere from 6.5 up to 9, and they win 89-79 as that game goes over the total. They will take on Tennessee in their matchup in the field of 64, as that number is currently 10.5. Tennessee is laying it total 148.5, but that game is on Friday. We have plenty of time to dissect it between now and then. We have a full slate on Thursday. It's the fullest slate we get all year, these first 2 days of the tourney. So let's dive into these games and find at least a lean on all of them. Now, I will point out the first game of the day. This is the one we're beginning with Ohio State and TCU, the 8-9 matchup. This is one I've gone back and forth on. Initially, as soon as I saw the odds, I said, hold on, give me TCU as the dog. Give me Jamie Dixon as an underdog. My concern about that is I do have a lot of hate in my heart for Ohio State. And sometimes when you have that type of bias against one program across multiple sports, you have to acknowledge that maybe you aren't looking through this matchup objectively. TCU enters this one 22nd in defense versus an Ohio State offense that is 17th. On the other side, TCU 81st on offense versus the 54th defense from Ohio State. TCU, some pretty good schedule results for them. They beat Florida, they beat Wisconsin, and they lost to Michigan by 4. They have size and rebounding. David Punch is a 14-6 and 6.7 guy. Xavier Edwards, 12-6.6. So you kind of like that they've got guys that can do a little bit of everything. And on the other side for the Buckeyes, Bruce Thornton is a stud. He shoots 40% from three, 20 points a game. John Mobley Jr., 15.7, 41% beyond the arc for him. And while I lean TCU originally, These trends concern me, and trends don't pay the rent. We all know it's not the end-all be-all, but it just lets you know how a coach is viewed through the lens of the odds makers, because that's all cover rate is how the people who set the numbers view the coach, the team, the situation, and how they perform against those types of issues. Jamie Dixon in the NCAA tournament is only 10-19 covering the number. He is 15-3 to the over in his career in the tournament, but I'm not betting an over on the very first game of the day when it's a 9:15 Pacific time start, 12:15 on the East Coast. He's also just 1-3 against the spread, 2-1 to the under in the first round at TCU. My lean, just because it is an early start time, would be take this game down to half and go first half under the total of 66.5, but that is just a lean. I don't want to do anything with that game because I don't have a good feel for either side. Now, when the lines initially dropped, I immediately placed two bets as soon as I saw the numbers. First one was Santa Clara and Kentucky. More on that later on as we preview that game on Friday. But Nebraska and Troy, I took Troy. I took the 14, and I was waiting to bet on this team as that number has since trickled down, I believe down to 13 right now. I just want to confirm that's where it's at as we speak. And it is 13. Ooh, it's a 12.5 at a couple of shops. So I got 14. I still like them catching the points here against Nebraska, who has never won a conference tournament game, and they are a double-digit favorite in this spot. Troy, 54 most three-point attempts per game. That is huge against Nebraska, 11th in three-point attempts per game. I think Troy's size could be an issue for Nebraska because Nebraska's not a good offensive rebounding team. And Troy, 55th in the nation at offensive rebounding. You have to add context that they are facing Sun Belt teams for the most part. But I do think the front court for Troy, which is 6'8", 6'9", and 6'7", could pose a threat to Nebraska here with their ability to get a couple of more second chance opportunities in a game where, you know, Troy slows it down. Nebraska likes to play a little bit faster, but Troy's battle tested. You know, this is a team that went to overtime against USC and lost triple overtime. In fact, they beat San Diego State on the road. That's rare for a team out of the Sun Belt. Fred Hoiberg, 5-4 against the spread, 7-2 to the over in the tournament in his career, 3-1 to the over when seeded 4 or higher. He's got a high-powered offense. You got Price Sanford, 40% from 3, 18 points per game. Mast gives you another 13.5-6 at 6'10". Hoiberg, his son, obviously off the bench. He is a glue guy for this team. And Troy, they actually play the son of Scott Cross as well in this one, as Austin Cross is on the team. Austin Cross was meeting with the media earlier this week and talked about one of the key attributes he likes about the Troy Trojans.
What has led us to this point is how connected we are. And a lot of people like to say the power of friendship. You know, we're not the most flashy team, but like, you don't actually know how far you can get, like, with friendship and, like, connectivity. Like, if you have, you're only as strong as your weakest link, and we're really about that at Troy. And, you know, we're heavy on skills and fundamentals, and we take that to the next level, and that's why we won. Yep.
What makes this team confident in this first round in March?
We got guys like TD and Coop and JB that are playing well. And then, you know, me and Kay, you know, on the bench, we give a lot of confidence to the team. They can trust in us, and, you know, that's why we give our team confidence. Yep.
I love that. Safety first, then teamwork, though, if I would give Austin Cross any advice. I love that. I love what he pointed out. Here's the problem. Nebraska also, they have longstanding relationships. We got players on this team that go back to playing as children together. I think the connectivity is also something that the Huskers look at as one of their advantages. So we'll see how this goes down. I love taking the 14 as I got earlier. If you can get a 13 now at 12.5, we're probably on the edge here. But I think this is going to be a very fun game where Troy, I think, is going to be in this one all the way until the end. I'd consider a Troy first half at this point, though, if it's at 12.5, wherever you're looking. One of the biggest stories of the day involves the 6-11 matchup that we're going to discuss next in the East. You have number 6 Louisville, number 11 South Florida, and the Cardinals will be without stud freshman guard Mykel Brown. He is an elite scorer. He is going to be an NBA player. And he actually sat down in the locker room with the media and talked about where he stands with his injury.
I'm bummed out. I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult to sit down as a competitor and, you know, watch your teammates play in this type of environment. Hard to not compete with them, hard to not, you know, go hard for them. And like I've been saying, man, I've never been trained to go half speed, and half speed is the only thing that I can do right now in my workouts and, you know, practice. And, you know, half speed is not our standard, it's not my standard, so it's best if, you know, I don't go out there. We've just been going day to day about it, you know, just trying to slowly build to see what I can do more and more every single day. And it's just, I haven't hit our standard, and I haven't hit my standard in terms of, like, you know, being myself. You know, I really can't, I don't want to say I can't, but, like, the ability to, you know, play to our standard, I can't do it right now. Like I said, it sucks for me, man. Like, this is the type of environment that you want to be in. This is something that I dreamed of as a kid, you know, watching March Madness every single year. Like, the energy, and, you know, you seen it last night. Like, those two games last night were crazy. And it's just the first day of March Madness. So just watching that, man, it irks me, and it's a bummer to sit out.
Yeah, the problem with that injury right now for Louisville is he is one of the go-to guys alongside Conwell, the transfer from Xavier. And he's the reason why this number is dipping. It opened at 6.5. It's down to 4.5. I still think it's playable at 4.5. I'm not quite there. I think the over is the right play, but I don't love playing overs in some of these earlier start times, especially the first window of game on Thursdays. I think both teams are going to get up and go, though. Perhaps a South Florida team total over would be the way to attack this one. But right now, I don't have a play. We'll point out that Pat Kelsey, the head coach for Louisville, is 0-5 against the spread in the NCAA tournament. The next game we're going to look at here on the window is 5-12, Wisconsin and High Point. And High Point is another trendy dog. This one's going to get going 10:50 a.m. our time on the West Coast, which is 1:50 p.m. on the East Coast. And here's my problem with backing High Point, who's super trendy, is you've got a team that likes to get up and go. They play at a rapid pace at 24th in the country in possession length. They like to shoot threes. They like to have a lot of possessions. Well, Wisconsin does all of that also, but they do it better, and they've been doing it against better competition. And while I know everyone wants to make the case for High Point, despite not actually watching them play all year, believe me, I've done it a million times this time of year. I love Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin overall. I was going to be into Wisconsin pretty much anyone they were playing in this matchup. They can stroke it. They go deep with the shooters. And oh, by the way, Greg Gard is still a defensive-minded head coach at heart. So they will be able to find stops. And I just think some of these teams from these smaller leagues, when we anticipate them just doing what they did against inferior opponents, now stepping up in competition to a level of talent that's as deep as Wisconsin, I don't know if I'm buying that that's just going to happen here. So I am on Wisconsin. I laid the 10 with them. I did not get a 9.5 while it was briefly out there, but I still feel good about the Badgers in this spot. If you're serious about betting this March, meet EdgeBoost, the Visa debit card and bank account built specifically for gamers. No more declined deposits, no waiting on bank transfers. EdgeBoost gives you real-time access to your funds, 24/7, 365, even on nights, weekends, and holidays. Use it across all your favorite sportsbooks and DFS platforms. New users, sign up with promo code VSIN. And EdgeBoost will match your first deposit up to $50. It's the smarter way to manage your gaming bankroll. Head to edgeboost.bet and use promo code VSIN to get started today. One of the sharpest minds in betting will attack the NCAA tournament next on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson coming at you from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I want to remind you that this show is sponsored by Francetic Tax. If you're a gambler dealing with IRS letters or taxes on winnings, Paul Francetic can help. Get a free confidential consultation by going to gamblertaxhelp.com. The big dance is upon us. Just mere hours away, we will have opening tip-off with TCU and Ohio State as the Field of 64 is set. And to help us look at these games and, more importantly, find the right philosophy and the approach to betting in March Madness, we're going to go to the Progressive Guest Line and welcome in one of the sharpest guys out there. He is Big Al McMorty, professional handicapper. BigAl.com is the website, at BigAl_com on X. And he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Al, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it on such a hectic week. And let's talk about the week as a whole, because this is the week where everyone who hasn't even been paying attention is betting on college basketball, where it's really hard to figure out which are those sharp sides, which are the square sides. We wait for a lot of these line moves. You've been doing this a long time. How do you view this week and your approach that maybe is unique to some other times of the year?
Well, first, before we get into that, you know, one of the things I've noticed the last couple of years, you don't have a lot of line moves this time of year in this tournament, not like in the regular season. So, you know, a lot of these lines are pretty much, you know, etched in stone or whatever you want to say. They don't move all that much. But that's just an aside. You know, what's interesting about the tournament, and it's a completely different handicap than the rest of the season. And what I mean by that is, you know, if you think about the regular season, you have teams playing at home, you have teams playing on the road, you have, you know, bad teams, you have good teams, you have teams on losing streaks and all of that sort of stuff. And you can find some really good situations during the regular season because of that. But now in this tournament, outside of the round one, where you do have some teams off losses, there are no teams off losses anymore once you get to Saturday's games. All the teams will be off wins. No team is playing at home. So it really is a completely different way of handicapping than you do in the regular season. You have to adapt as a handicapper.
Big Al McMorty is our guest. BigAl.com, the website. You see Al's work. You see our buddy Harry Gagnon, Kyle Hunter, some of the sharpest people around over there at BigAl.com. So let's talk about tomorrow because, you know, we all love the dogs right now. And it always concerns me, Al, when it's a trendy dog, right? We want those outlier dogs. We want the underdogs that nobody's on. I haven't heard a lot of cases for favorites. How does that make you feel? And are there any dogs out there that you're looking at on Thursday where you're saying, okay, this one's realistic. This one I'm going to not go with and I'm going to fade. Like, how are you handling the underdog dilemma we're all facing?
Well, you know, I actually am a handicapper that is probably more geared toward taking favorites than underdogs in this round. Good. I have some underdogs on tomorrow's card, but I also have a lot of favorites as well. And, you know, I'm a situational guy, and I heard you talking going into the break about High Point and Wisconsin. And that's actually, I agree with you. I like the favorite there. I like Wisconsin minus the points. When you take a look at High Point, one of the obvious things is that they're a very high scoring team. They average 89.9 points per game, but teams in the tournament that average 87.7 points or more per game, they've not done well. They've covered just 25% over 36 years. And there are five teams that are underdogs in the first round that score that many points. And that's Miami of Ohio. Now they did cash tonight. But you've got South Florida, you've got Texas A&M, you've got High Point, and you've got Akron. So those are some underdogs that would be a good idea, in my view, to fade. And in particular, the two that I'm looking to fade are going to be South Florida and High Point.
All right, let's talk about that South Florida one, because that number has dipped. It opened 6.5. It's down to 4.5. I didn't get on it initially. South Florida feels like the one that everyone loves, and then the injury to Mykel Brown Jr. for Louisville has only added to this situation. The total's 163.5, Al, and I was looking at that total, and my initial thought is I'd love to bet the over, but I have a hard time convincing myself of betting an over in the first round of the tournament, especially when it's one of the earlier games on the card here.
Well, I have nothing on the total. I couldn't care less about it one way or the other. I'm curious to hear why you think it makes a difference that it's early in the afternoon and even in the first round. I'm not sure that that really makes a difference as far as overs and unders go.
Oh, no, I love that. If that's not the case, I just think sometimes the earlier start time, they don't traditionally always play that early. I guess it's 1:30 on the East Coast, so maybe not that early for them. But that was just my initial thought that maybe it's a slower start as we work ourselves into the day of action there. How about some games on the card on Thursday with contrasting styles? Because that's always a conundrum. And the one that jumps out to me would be A&M and St. Mary's, where St. Mary's is a lot slower paced defensive team. A&M likes to run up and gun and score. St. Mary's is laying 3.5. Total's 147.5. Did you think about anything here?
I like Texas A&M in the game. I don't like the total at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what to do with the total. That's the big conundrum for me. And I love Bucky McMillan as a coach. He's someone that I love to back as an underdog. Big Al McMorty is our guest. BigAl.com, the website. Professional handicapper at BigAl_com on X. What do you feel about, or how do you feel about big favorites? Because we have a lot of these top seeds that are laying big numbers. You know, I think that the public probably lays it, but I'm laying it with Houston tomorrow. That's one that I got there with.
I'm going to push back. Well, I don't know what the public does because I really don't care what the public does. Yeah. But I was talking to a friend of mine about one of those games yesterday, and he said he could never lay that many points because he questions whether or not a team is going to be motivated to win by that many, which made no sense to me.
Uh-huh.
But I did go to my database and I did look up, you know, after that conversation, and teams laying 28 or more points have gone 22, 12, and 1 ATS in the tournament since 1990. So you don't get a lot of those games. There are two teams laying 28. That's Michigan and Arizona. Duke is close. Duke is 27 and a half. But as a technical handicapper, you know, close doesn't count. So you've got Duke and you've got, you've got Arizona, you've got Michigan. And I like Michigan minus the 31.
Talk to me about Michigan, because you are a Michigan guy and they are dealing with an injury that hurts some of their depth here. How big of an impact do you think that is for the Wolverines, as they're a one seed, rightfully so, and their path looks pretty decent for them to get through to the Final Four, obviously opening with Howard, but how concerned are you about the injury to Kaysen?
I'm not. But anyway, I think there's Michigan, Arizona, and a difference, really. And as you mentioned, undergraduate at Michigan, so I am a big Wolverine. Preseason win the tournament. Got no reason.
I think we're losing the connection tournament. On Al. It was breaking up there. If maybe we can find a way to reconnect with him real quick and do a test, because we only have a couple minutes left in the segment. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Big Al McMorty is our guest. It looks like he is back and good from what I can tell here. So, Al, you were talking about Michigan there and their potential path that was breaking up. Can you just reiterate what you were saying? Or we just lost Al. Al is no longer there. Never mind. All right, I'm looking at the card for tomorrow. The Michigan situation in Howard, going to stay away from that one. But the game right below it jumps out to me because you got St. Louis and Georgia. And St. Louis and Georgia, the total is 169.5. And if we get Al back in time, I was going to ask him, you know, is that the highest total he's seen for an NCAA tournament game, at least for the opening round here, which opened 170? It's down a tick to 169.5. That kind of blew me away as such a big number for that matchup with St. Louis and Georgia. So we are efforting to get Al back in real quick. We only have a minute to go, though, guys. So maybe we just thank him for his time tonight. I want to remind you tonight, Cashing Out is brought to you by Francetic Tax Resolution, because when you're betting regularly, the tax side matters. Paul Francetic is a tax resolution expert with over 20 years of experience helping gamblers resolve tax problems, sportsbook winnings, casino play, poker. He's got it all handled. And right now he's offering a free gambler tax problem consultation. He'll walk you through your situation, understand what the IRS is actually looking at, and see your options clearly confidentially. Call 262-752-6992 or visit gamblertaxhelp.com. That's 262-752-6992 or gamblertaxhelp.com. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Oh, baby, the NCAA tournament, it is upon us. It is beginning in hours. The countdown is on, and we have a lot of games to handicap before we get out of here. We're going to look at Vanderbilt and McNeese State. We are going to break down Michigan State, North Dakota State, Arkansas and Hawaii, and the game that terrifies me, VCU and North Carolina, because I took VCU +3, and there isn't a single person walking God's green earth right now trying to convince you that North Carolina is the right side. That absolutely scares the bejesus out of me here. So we're going to break these games down all night long. We'll have at least a lean, if not a play, in almost every game coming up on Thursday. And we'll do that on the other side of the break. It's Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cruising along on Cashing Out, I'm Dustin Sweetelson, broadcasting from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, as Cashing Out is sponsored by Francetic Tax. Quick reminder for bettors, the IRS taxes your wins, not your net. Paul Francetic has helped gamblers for over 20 years. For a free consultation, go to GamblerTaxHelp.com. We're letting you know all the opinions as far as the big dance is concerned. We had Matt Eumanns in our number one, along with former college hoops coach Tom Penders, Kelly Stewart. Kelly in Vegas dropped by as well. Tanner Kern earlier this hour. We just heard from Big Al McMorty. And now we're going to hear from one of the legends here at VSiN. He is Timothy Murray. He is the tallest member of our staff. He is obsessed with college basketball. He is the only one here who played college basketball. Let's point that out. And he joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Obviously, you can catch Tim, VSiN Primetime, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, the Weekend Morning Line, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. And he joins us now on Cashing Out. So, Tim, thanks for doing this on your day off. I didn't even think about it, that it was your day off. So thank you for joining the show. How we doing on the day off? How'd I catch you? Did you run errands? What'd we do today?
I'm just doing a little honey-do list right now, cleaning up the kitchen and watching Colorado State St. Joe's. So you're taking me away from some sweet, sweet NIT action, Dustin. How dare you?
All right. Well, earlier today, you got to watch a little bit more closely as Miami of Ohio, catching points, ends up winning by 10 against SMU. And they looked like the right side all night long. Mm-hmm. They shot it from three. Now they're catching 10.5 against Tennessee on Friday. What'd you make of the performance from the very controversial Red Hawks?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they did what they really had done all year, which is a barrage of three-pointers. And, you know, I think you certainly have concerns about their defense and their interior presence, but when they're able to hit the three like they did tonight, and I was texting with a buddy of mine, Paul Fritschner, who covers Miami very closely. He was at the game. He said the atmosphere was absolutely electric. So I do wonder, I don't want to say it's a letdown, Dustin, because that would be dumb to say, because they're going to the first round of the NCAA tournament. They're taking on Tennessee. That would be a silly thing to say. But the way they shot the ball tonight, I'm not racing to lay or to take, 10.5, even though it certainly looks appetizing when you look at this Miami team and what they're capable of doing and erasing deficits very quickly. So I got to look a little bit more into that Tennessee showdown. I'm sure you've talked about Rick Barnes and the struggles that he's had from an ATS standpoint over his illustrious career. So, you know, it's very tempting to look at Miami, but I got to look a little bit more into it because I might be tempted to go the other side here, but you know, they deserve to be in the field. And they showed it tonight. So good for Travis Steele, good for that Miami squad. And you know, what's so dangerous about him, Dustin, I know you were on the air while this game was going on. I mean, anyone can step up, right? Suter's their guy, but he didn't need to be the man tonight. They can go anywhere with this starting lineup.
VSiN host Tim Murray's with us, Progressive Guest Line, also currently tied atop the leaderboard in the Circa College Hoops. Are we calling it an invitational? Is that the official name of this thing? I believe it is. That sounds about right. It's a challenge, contest, either way. Tim and Matt Eumanns sitting atop, which feels like there may be collusion happening there with them. So I don't want to accuse anyone of anything before we get started. So let's talk about some of your plays, because we had to pick 15 of them on Thursday, 15 on Friday. And I got to tell you, you know I like to fire. I got to about 12 and I went, yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing darts now. So your best bet, I want to talk about that first, because you're taking Northern Iowa, taking the 10.5 against St. John's. As you've got a great defensive team, you've got Pitino on the other side. What led you to the dog in this spot?
Yeah, it was contemplating between a couple of different teams to be the best bet. But, you know, this was the one that jumped out to me. And, you know, we talk so much about the profile of an underdog and who you want to go to. And Northern Iowa just profiles as the perfect underdog. Now, St. John's could go out with their size and Ejiofor down low and Hopkins down low and really dominate this Northern Iowa team. It's certainly possible. But I think when you look at the slowest team in this field, and that's Northern Iowa, 363 out of 365 in the country. I know that number's been, you know, beating people over the head on VSiN for this past week. But, you know, Ben Jacobson, he hasn't been to the dance in 10 years. But when he goes to the dance, they win games. Three straight years, they've won a game in the NCAA tournament. And of course, in 2010, as Ali Farouk-Manesh is coaching Colorado State right now, Dustin, in the NIT, he was the one who hit the legendary shot against Kansas to send them on to the Sweet 16. And this is a team, too, in Northern Iowa that has been playing just so much better down the stretch. You know, Trey Campbell's their lead dog, and he's been really, really strong this year. So, look, St. John's, I get it. They're a trendy team to go to the Final Four. Matt Eumanns, who started your show, has them going to the Final Four. But I think this is going to be a grinder. And you've already heard Rick Pitino voice his displeasure about flying out to San Diego for this game on Friday. So, you know, giving me 10.5, obviously you're getting a little line value in our contest too at 10.5 as opposed to where the market's at now. So I thought Northern Iowa, as I kind of debated a couple of other ones, Dustin, ultimately was the one that made the most sense for my best bet.
Tim Murray is our guest, primetime host, 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, right before us on Cashing Out. VSiN weekend morning line, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on the weekends, obviously. I want to ask you about this one because, you know, I have listened to a lot of content this week, maybe more than ever, just to make sure I'm up on college hoops. And probably 50 different voices. Not one of them has made the case for North Carolina, myself included. I'm on VCU. I took the 3 right away. In the contest, you're on VCU. I'm on them as well in the contest. Is this one of those where we're just going to be like, what were we thinking? Everyone is on the Rams?
It's certainly possible. You know, there are those trendy dogs, and our buddy, Chris the Bear Felica always talks about dogs with fleas, right? And maybe this is it. I love the way VCU has been playing down the stretch. They've lost a total of 1 game since January 14th, and that was, you know, on the road to St. Louis. They go to the A-10 tournament. They didn't have to play St. Louis because Dayton took care of them in the semifinals. But I think Phil Martelli Jr. has really done a strong job. And then you look at North Carolina, and, you know, the theme of the 6th seed this year is, you know, Mykel Brown's out for Louisville. Richie Saunders is out for BYU. And Caleb Wilson, a guy who could be a top 5 pick in the the NBA draft, is out here. So, you know, I felt like this was maybe an opportunity to go against a North Carolina team, against a team that seems to be ascending in VCU. So you're right. It does feel like every way you turn, no one's really giving the case for North Carolina. That certainly concerns you when you go into this field. And it's funny, you know, I opened the show, Dustin, on Monday, and I joked, you know, I love betting dogs. So many of us here at VSiN love to bet the underdog. And this is the week that your neighbor who doesn't watch any college basketball, who usually tells you that the Kansas City Chiefs are the best bet of the week, you know, 17 weeks out of the year, he's out popping his head out and telling you how much Northern Iowa and, Akron are going to pull off the upset. So this is always a tricky week as an underdog bettor, because people like to look for the underdog, understandably so.
I want to squeeze one more in here as Tim Murray's with us, Progressive Guest Line. Contrasting styles, A&M and St. Mary's. Totals 147, which if you looked at for an A&M game, you're going, hold on, that is super low. But for St. Mary's, it does feel like that is their style of fight. You're going to go under. I agree with you on this one, but what led you to this play?
Yeah, so this was one of the last plays that I threw in there. I'm not a big totals guy, but obviously, as you mentioned, we got 15 plays that we have to throw in there. So I debated what to do with this game because I did play St. Mary's, and FanDuel had a pretty cheap money line on Monday morning at -$1.26, and I laid that. And I like St. Mary's in this matchup, but I didn't really want to lay the 3, I believe is the number that was in our contest. But I think if St. Mary's is to win, they're going to control the tempo in this game. So that's why ultimately I went with the under here in this game. And, you know, Randy Bennett obviously has had many of opportunities here in the NCAA tournament. And I think his experience is not going to lead them to get into a track meet here. I think they're going to want to play their own pace. You know, this is a St. Mary's team. When I was on the air on Sunday, I loved that this game popped on the line because I do really enjoy, Dustin, when we get these contrasting style of games. Now, I also love the fact that Georgia and St. Louis are going head-to-head, and those are two of the most up-tempo teams in college basketball going against each other in the first round. But, you know, for me, I think St. Mary's tries to kind of grind this game a little bit, you know, plays into their experience in the NCAA tournament. I like St. Mary's, didn't want to lay the three, so that's why ultimately in the contest I went with under 147.
Yeah, I like where you're coming from there. I think I might go a first half under, maybe a full game as well. He's Tim Murray on X at one Tim Murray? One of those things is correct. One Tim Murray. And then catch him, VSiN Primetime before us and on the weekend morning line, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy what's left, about 2 hours of your day off.
Dustin, appreciate you, man. See ya.
From one sharp guy to another, Wes Reynolds joins us on the other side of Cashing Out.